Have your Bible handy if you'll turn to the book of Leviticus chapter 4. Leviticus chapter 4, and you can go ahead and mute yourself so we don't get any inadvertent interruptions. But in Leviticus chapter 4, we're going to be talking about the sin offering. And so let's begin with a word of prayer this evening. Father, we do thank you for the privilege that we have to come to you in prayer. We thank you this evening for the privilege to be able to meet together, even though it's virtually, yet we're able to meet together and chat with one another. We're able to then look into your word and then have a time of prayer. And Father, I pray that this evening, as we consider this passage that we have before us, that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide us. Lord, I pray that you would cleanse each of us of sin, empty us of ourself, and fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might be able to speak clearly and that the hearts of each one listening might be open to receive the message that you would have for us tonight. We thank you again for loving us. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for the privilege of serving you at HBC. And I pray that you would bless our time together this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. There's an old saying, And it comes from the Latin. And since I don't speak Latin, I'll tell you what it says in English, okay? And what it says is simply this: ignorance of law excuses no one. Ignorance of law excuses no one. Let me give you an example. Years ago, and there in Singapore, I went to a Christian bookstore that was down by SGH Hospital. And I parked my car alongside of the road. And I looked around for the parking sign to about how many coupons I needed to put out for parking. I didn't see a sign. And so I did not put out any coupon. Well, I went into the bookstore there. And when I came out, there was a policewoman standing there by my car. And so when I walked up, I said, "Oh, is there anything wrong?" And she said, "Well, you didn't put out a parking coupon." So I explained to her that, I came in, I don't see a sign. And then I said something very foolish. I said, I thought it was free parking. And this is the truth. This is the truth. She honestly laughed and she said, "Oh, sir, there's no free parking in Singapore." But here's the point. My ignorance of the law did not excuse me from the penalty of the law. I was guilty. I was guilty. However, I am happy to say that that policewoman was very gracious. And she actually, instead of giving me the ticket I deserved, she actually just asked me to give her one of my parking coupons. Now, the reason I mentioned that this evening is because that's the very issue. That's the very issue that we're going to find as we're going to be looking at in this text this evening. How that in spite of the ignorance of the law, men were guilty, and yet God provided a gracious way of forgiveness. Now, you'll remember, as we've seen over the past couple of weeks, the Lord God was dwelling among his people. They had a relationship with the Lord God, such as men had never known before. And in order to maintain that relationship, there on Mount Sinai, the Lord God had given Moses instruction that Israel was to bring five sacrifices. There were five sacrifices that were instituted. And you remember, we saw how that these sacrifices were to picture three things. First of all, it was to picture their commitment to God. And we saw this in the first two sacrifices. There was the burnt offering, showed the commitment of their whole self to God. And then there was the meat offering, which showed the commitment of their stuff to God. Their physical material blessings. They committed that to God. And so it showed their commitment to God. These offerings also showed their communion with God. And we saw that in the peace offering that we talked about last time. We saw how that this peace offering was always brought along with a burnt offering. And it showed that these Jews were able to enjoy a right communion with the Lord God because they had fully committed themselves to God. And by the way, the same thing is true today. When we give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God because we're now saved. But when we give ourselves and our lives completely to his control, when we commit ourselves completely to him, then we are able to enjoy the peace of God. And we talked about those things last week. Well, now we come to the fourth offering that was required. And in order for the people of Israel to maintain a right relationship, a right condition before God, the Bible says here in Leviticus chapter 4, and Leviticus chapter 4, verse 1 and verse number 2, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord, concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them. And then we're going to continue from there. But I want you to notice that this fourth sacrifice, this sin offering, was specifically for those sins against the Lord God that were committed in ignorance. We find that in verse number 2 here. We also find it in verse 13, verse 22, verse number 27. In other words, their sin that this offering was given for, their sin was not an act of willful rebellion or stubborn rebellion. Rather, this was an offering that was offered when a sin was committed, and that sin was an act of ignorance. But again, ignorance is no excuse for sin. Just because the people did not know the law, they were not excused from breaking God's law. Now, it should be mentioned here that there's a clear difference. There's a clear difference between those who sin ignorantly and those who sin deliberately, or what the Bible refers to as presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sins. Notice what the Lord God said. If you'll turn over to the book of Numbers, chapter 15, and verse 29 and following, the Lord God said, ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. But, now here's the other side, but the soul that doth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord. You see, the one who sins presumptuously, he knew what the law required, and yet he willfully chose to ignore it. He has broken his commandment because he despised the word of the Lord. He's broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. So here there's a clear difference between the sin of ignorance and the sin of presumption. Let me give you an example very quickly. You remember David. King David committed his sin with Bathsheba. And then he tried to cover up that sin by having her husband killed. And let me just say to you that when David did those two things, he did them with his eyes wide open. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he knew that it was wrong. He knew that it was sinful. In other words, David knew full well that his actions were worthy of death. His actions were worthy of death. And that's why David knew that his only hope was in the mercies of God. And so in his prayer of confession that we find recorded in Psalm 51, notice what David said. David said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Have mercy upon me, not according to the offerings that he had brought, but to have mercy according to his loving kindness and according to the multitude of his tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. But here in our text, we find the Lord God ordained a sin offering for those sins that were actually sins of ignorance. And as we look at this sin offering, there are three points that I want us to notice together this evening. First of all, notice the substance of it. The substance of it. As we go through this chapter, we find that there were actually two different animals that could be offered as a sin offering. And the animal that was offered depended on the identity of the sinner. It depended on the identity of the sinner. The first animal that we find was young bullocks. And this was an offering that was offered, that was an offering that was required for the sins, first of all, of the priest. For the sins of the priest. Verse number 3 says, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And so if a priest was to sin, and it was a sin of ignorance, he didn't do it willfully. It was something that was, it was just an oversight, a mistake, something he just did not know. And he sinned ignorantly, then he was to bring a young bullock without any blemish to offer it as a sin offering to the Lord. But it's interesting to notice that this same offering was required for the sins of the nation. For the sins of the nation. Notice in verse 13 and verse 14. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin and bring him before the Lord of the before the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, I think it's interesting to point out here. There's an interesting point that we can notice here, and that is this. It's interesting to notice that the priest would bring the same animal for his sin offering as was brought for the sin offering of the whole nation. Now, that's an interesting point. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, noted, this revealed the greatness of the guilt connected with the sin of the high priest, the prominence of his station and his relation both to God and to the people greatly aggravated his offenses. And so the same offering was to be brought for the priest and for the whole nation. Same offering, young bullocks. But we also find that there was an offering of young goats. And this was the required offering for the sins of again, two groups of people. First of all, for the rulers. Notice in verse number 22 and verse number 23, when a ruler hath sinned, this is be one of the heads over the tribes of Israel. He wasn't a spiritual ruler, but he was a legal ruler. And so when a ruler hath sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God concerning things which should not be done and is guilty, or if his sin wherein he hath sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. And so when a ruler, one who was in a place of authority over one of the tribes of Israel, when they would sin by ignorance, when that sin was known, then they were to bring a young goat without blemish as a sin offering. But we also find that this same offering was required for the sin of the citizens, In verse 27 and verse 28, and if anyone of the common people, This is not a priest. It's not a ruler. This is just a citizen of Israel. If any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, or if his sin, which he has sinned, come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin, which he hath sinned, a female without blemish. And of course, if this person, this was a provision, if this person did not have a goat, then he could bring a ewe. He could bring a female lamb. Leviticus 4:32 tells us that. And so here we find the animals that were acceptable as a sin offering for these various groups of people. Now, the thing I want to point out, and again, as you look back over these verses, please notice it. Even though it was a sin of ignorance, they were guilty in the eyes of God, and therefore the sin offering was required. So we see the substance of it. Notice number two, the execution of it. The execution of it. The sin offering made it clear that even for sins of ignorance, the person was guilty before God. So therefore, that guilty party would have to either pay for the sin himself, or the penalty would have to be paid through the shedding of the blood of an innocent substitute. Now, the ritual for the execution of this sacrifice depended on the office, again, of the person bringing the sin offering. They weren't all the same. There was a difference. And so let's go through and notice these. First of all, there is the sin offering of the priest. The sin offering of the priest. In Leviticus chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head, and kill the bullock before the Lord." Now, this thing of laying his hands on the head of the offering, as we have seen before, this actually showed that he was identifying with the sacrificial animal. He's identifying with his sacrifice. In other words, by laying his hands on the head of the sacrifice, it was symbolic of the fact that his sin of ignorance was being transferred to an innocent sacrifice that would die in his place. And so he would lay his hands on the head of the sacrifice, and then that sacrifice would be killed. The blood of that sacrifice, if you'll look at verse number 5, the blood of that sacrifice would be sprinkled 7 times before the veil. It would then, in verse number 6, it would be smeared on the horns of the altar of incense. And then that blood would be, the rest of the blood, verse 7 tells us, would be poured out under the altar of the burnt offering. And in verse 8 to verse number 10, we find how then the sacrifice was to be cut up. The Bible says that he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, the 2 kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. As it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering. And so then, after all of this had been cut away and burned upon the altar, then the rest of the carcass, we find in verse 11 and verse number 12, the rest of the carcass would be taken outside of the camp, and there it would be burned in a clean place. Now, this clearly illustrates a wonderful truth. It clearly illustrates how that when God pardons sin, when the sacrifice is made on the altar, the sin is separated. It is taken away. He puts it away, and it is never remembered anymore. Now, that's the sin offering of the priest. Let's notice number 2. Let's notice the sin offering of the nation. Again, in verse 13 and verse number 14, and if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. Then in verse number 20, we find that the elders, who were the representatives of the whole nation, would lay their hands upon the head of that offering. And again, in verse number 21, we're told that the offering would be killed. The carcass would be carried out of the camp and would be burned with fire. And so this was the sacrifice, the sin offering for the nation. And then there's the sin offering for the rulers in verse 22 down to verse number 26. And the ritual in offering the young goat was exactly the same as what we have already seen, except for two clear differences. First of all, the blood was not sprinkled seven times before the Lord. And the carcass of the sacrifice was not to be burned. And the reason for this was because, as we're going to see later on when we get over into Leviticus chapter 6, this carcass was given to the priest for their food. But that was the rule. That was the execution of the sin offering for the rulers. And then there was the execution of the sin offering for the citizens. And this is found in verse 27 down to verse number 35. And the ritual in offering the young nanny goat or the young ewe was the same as what we have just seen. The blood was shed. It was applied just as it was for the rulers. The fat was burned on the altar, a burnt offering. And then the rest of the animal, again, was given to the priest, and it was to be for their food. And so this we see in here, the execution of the sin offering, depending on who they were, whether it was the priest or the nation or the rulers or the citizens. The execution, God laid it out very clearly, exactly how it was to be done. Now let's notice number three, the consequence of it. The consequence of it. Let me just give you four verses here that show the consequence when the sin offering was offered before the Lord. Notice in verse number 20, and the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. It's forgiven. Again, look at verse number 26. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. Notice verse 31. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Verse number 35. And the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him. As I have studied through this over the past week or so, I'm so very thankful for a statement that we find in Romans chapter 10, verse number 4. The Bible says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And this is possible. This is possible because Jesus Christ, the innocent, the sinless, the perfect Son of God, was made to be sin for us. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:21? Our sin was placed upon him. And then there at the cross of Calvary, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:26 that Jesus Christ paid our sin debt and put away sin. He put it away by the sacrifice of himself. Evina Hall said it well when she penned the words, and she said, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. It's because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ that has washed us. It's because of that precious blood that has cleansed us from every sin and from every stain. The Bible declares that we have received a most gracious gift of salvation. Now, I realize there are some who would say, well, Christ died for the sins, and then after we get saved, those sins are no longer covered because they are in the future. Well, let me just remind you that when Jesus died on the cross, all of our sins were in the future. He paid it all. All of our sins have been put away. And so now we have this wonderful gift of salvation. And because of that, we also have a wonderful promise. Here it is. 1 Timothy 2:5. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And because of the fact that Jesus Christ, who paid our sin debt, because he is our mediator, because he is our advocate, as John says in 1 John 2:1, we also have a most wonderful promise in 1 John 1:9. And I'm sure that many of you already know this by heart. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus Christ is our sin offering. And when we put our faith and trust in him and we confess our sin, then we are just like those people in the Old Testament. When they brought their sin offering, they were forgiven. And in the very same way, we are forgiven as well. And so the question I would close with is simply this. First of all, are you saved? Do you know that your sins have been washed away by the blood of Christ? Has there been a time when you acknowledge the fact that you've sinned against God? You've broken his laws. You've offended his holiness. Yeah, and you've called upon him to save you from the penalty of your sin. Do you know that you've been saved? If not, I hope you'll take care of that even tonight. And if you are saved, let me ask you this. Are you clean? Are you clean? Are you faithfully making sure every day that when you lay your head on your pillow, there is nothing between your soul and the Savior? You've confessed your sin. You've made things right with God, and that you're clean. You're clean in his eyes. What a wonderful assurance we have because of what Jesus Christ, our sin offering, has done for each and for every one of us.